you read the bulletin, you saw the topic had to do with sin. And some of you thought about heading out and getting brunch instead of such a warm, happy topic. I'm glad you stuck around, because this psalm, Psalm of David, far from being dark, hopeless, is full of joy. He talks about what happens when you and I bring our sin before a gracious God and find his forgiveness. So follow along as I read, and then we'll talk about the psalm for a bit. Psalm 32 of Psalm of David. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. And this is God's word. Hiding is an art. Some are good at it, some are not. I read a story about a guy with a knife that was trying to break into cars in New Jersey, and the police were called and started chasing him down, but he effectively eluded their pursuit until they heard howling coming out of a commercial trash compactor. The howling was still heard as they hauled him off the ambulance with multiple fractures to his legs. Hiding, you got to be smart. And that starts early in years. A little happier than the story of the guy in New Jersey. Children try to hide, and not always successfully. It takes a while to learn this. We have a few pictures there. Just because I can't see you does not sadly mean you can't see me. Here's another attempt. Better. Not quite there. I like that one. Yeah. Choose a bigger tree. That was great, isn't it? Yeah. Close. So close. Hiding really is an art. But it is a hopeless, foolish art when it comes to hiding our sin. Hiding sin destroys. And notice that I didn't say if you have sin, hiding sin is a problem. We all sin. And this, by the way, is spoken to those who know God, walk with God, belong to God. This is not written to pagans who have never put their faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've never taken that step of faith in Christ, this can apply to you. But these words are directed primarily at those who already belong to God. This is written by David, King David, a man after God's own heart. And he and we who know the Lord struggle with sin, every one of us. The Apostle John, his first letter, says, If we, as followers of Christ, say we are without sin, we are liars. Says it a second time. If we say we're without sin, we call God a liar. If you're here today, breathing, you still struggle with pursuing a path of your own choosing as opposed to following the path God has for you. Every one of us struggles with sin. The issue isn't, is there sin? It's, what do we do with it? And sadly, the knee-jerk, instinctive response is we hide it. And when we hide it, which seems like a solution, we find that hiding our sin destroys. Look at verse 3. David, in a moment where there was sin in his life, said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." Or the end of verse 4, "My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." Some of you have felt this summer, right? Hiding our sin destroys us. We waste away, we groan, we're sapped with life. I listed just a few ways in which it destroys because you wanted to know that, didn't you? Yes, you did. When we hold on to sin, we hide it, thinking we're getting away with it. We find that we end up being exhausted. It's hard work. It drains life from you. David speaks of wasting away. It just kind of dribbles off and becomes nothing. His strength was sapped. He just ran out of energy. If you go to Psalm 38, verse 4, the psalmist says, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." It's always too heavy to bear. We think we can handle it. We think we are handling it when we hide our sin. In fact, slowly, it's crushing us. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper." We think we're getting away with it. We're not. And eventually that exhaustion is complete. Ignoring sin long enough, sin kills. It destroys. That's why Scripture speaks of the wages of sin being death. Came across a quote from a guy named Neil Strait. So sin does not serve well as gardener of the soul. It landscapes the contour of the soil until all that is beautiful is made ugly, until all that is high is made low, until all that is promising is wasted. Then life is like a desert, parched and barren, drained of purpose, bleached of happiness. Sin is not wise, but wasteful. It is not a gate, but only a grave. Sin will drain you dry if you hold on, if you hide it. Sin exhausts us, as David says here. It isolates us. Choosing our sin over God means there's distance in that relationship. It doesn't destroy the relationship. David here still belongs to the Lord who saved him. But there's a strained relationship when he holds his sin to himself. And reasonably so. When we hold on to sin, God cannot coexist with sin. And so we pull away. He hasn't moved, but we have because of our sin. We create distance. Go back to the Garden of Eden, chapter 3, book of Genesis. What are Adam and Eve doing right after their fall? They're hiding, pitifully hiding. Doesn't work, and our hiding is just as pitiful. We think God doesn't see us, kind of like the kids up there. But we find distance instead of that close, intimate relationship with the God who wants to give us life. Psalm 66 says, "If I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." It creates distance. Sin enslaves, takes over. When I first sin, I'm choosing my own path. I make a very deliberate choice, but very, very quickly, I'm no longer in control. I'm thinking of Psalm 19, verse 13, where the psalmist prays, "Keep your servant also from willful sin." My choice. I'm deciding to do this. Keep me from willful sin. May they, those willful sins, not rule over me. In a hurry, I become a slave to that which I chose on the front end. And now, I just spirals in a dark way. Sin will enslave, which is why both Paul the Apostle and Jesus himself speak of being slaves to sin, in bondage to sin. I'm not free. I think I'm choosing my way and getting what I want. And then I find it's not life-giving. I'm entangled in ways I find so hard to break free of. Sin exhausts and eventually destroys. It isolates, it enslaves, it deceives us. I sin because I want to sin, but then I find that it convinces me of things that I don't know of. Hebrews 3 speaks of the deceitfulness of sin, and the deceitfulness grows harder and darker. I convince myself everything's just fine. And most people around me are looking at me like, seriously? That works for you? It's tragic, and yet we are the ones who are self-deceived. We're certainly not fooling God, who knows the whole deal. He knows where this leads. He knows what we've chosen. We convince ourselves of all sorts of lies and somehow create a rationality that is totally irrational. We're deceived, and therefore, not seeing that, we fall deeper and deeper into that hole, and so hiding our sin destroys us. Sin is poison in and of itself. It is the absence of the God who gives life. And yet here, it is not merely the net result of what we've chosen. Look at verse 4. The God who loves David, the God who loves you and me, is taking deliberate action. He is not content to leave David hiding in his pitiful sin. Verse 4, it says, "For day and night, you, God, your hand was heavy on me." God isn't done with David, which is really good news. Right at the moment, he probably wasn't thinking so. Can you just give me a little space? And God is saying, not a chance. I love you way too much to ignore your wandering from me. This is a loving heavenly Father who loves his child enough to discipline his child. And so the exhaustion, the energy being sapped from David, the groaning that is going on is the direct result of a loving God reaching out and bringing his child back. Some of you have smiles on today, but you are miserable. Because you're hiding. Some of you are miserable for other reasons. It's not due to sin. But some of you are not enjoying life because you have been trying to hide your path from God. And God sees. God does not ignore our sin. He acts in loving discipline and invites us to quit playing games and to find true life in him. Hiding our sin destroys us. Confessing our sin brings renewal. That's the promise of this psalm. That's why the whole tone of the psalm is so joyful and hopeful. There is an alternative to hiding our sin. We can confess it. We can expose our sin, which goes against every natural impulse we have, right? You do something wrong, the first thing you want to do is, "Mom, guess what I just did?" Or not. And we've heard it in TV movies, and some of you in law enforcement here have said these words out loud, or a version of it, unless Hollywood has messed it up. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used in your favor because we want to let you off the hook, right? Is that how the speech goes? Can and will be used against you in a court of law. We're not messing around here. We get that. That's why we don't tell mom when we steal the cookies. That's why we don't tell our teacher we didn't do our math homework and why. That's why we're urged to be silent when we get arrested. And yet, here's what God is inviting us to do. Here's what David has experienced, is urging us to follow his example. Expose your sin to God. Instead of hiding it, which isn't working anyway. Expose it. Bring it into the light. Show it to the one who already knows it's there. That is the alternative. It will not, in the hands of a loving, gracious God, be used against us. Rather, what verse 5 says, when we confess our sin, David says, you forgave the guilt of my sin. You don't get that in court. You get that from the court. Because the Heavenly Father sent His Son into our world, who hung on a Roman cross innocently so that your sin and my sin could be righteously paid for. And now He gives to you and me, as we confess our sin, righteousness. Because Jesus took our guilt. Jesus paid the price. And so God can forgive the guilt of my sin. And it's not here the only place that it's spoken of. It's many times, Old and New Testament, Proverbs 28. The one who confesses and renounces their sins finds mercy. 1 John 1:9, many of us memorized, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will expose our sin, bring it into the light, show it to the God who already knows it's there, His promise is He forgives. So why should we risk that? Well, number one, because He already knows. We're as pitiful as the kids on the screen. We think we're hiding. We're the only ones fooled by it. God already knows. You might as well face up to it. But better than that, given the nature of God, who loves us beyond any measure we can possibly understand, we can trust Him. A few weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, that's quite a ways, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Why should we risk exposing our sin to God? Because He loves us, He is gracious and forgives, and He can transform and renew life. And some of you are clinging to your sin because you simply do not believe God. You are convinced your path, while it may not be fun, is better than the path of being exposed to God, that God cannot and will not forgive and renew your life. And God invites you to trust Him, to risk bringing your sin into the light and finding grace as only He can give. God's response as we risk that is He forgives the guilt of our sin, verse 5. That idea of bringing it into the light, exposing our sin, verse 5, there are three different words that kind of flesh that out. David says He didn't cover it up. He just didn't cover it up. It wasn't working anyway. God already saw it. He's more miserable, groaning all the while. He chose to quit covering it. There's a really strange contrast here. David says he had been covering up his sin, verse 5, but then look back up earlier in verse 1. God then covers David's sin. Two different versions of covering. One doesn't work at all, but when God covers our sin, it's no mirage. One author says the paradox of forgiveness is that sins aren't covered until they're uncovered. You got to quit hiding. No more games. Lay it out there in the open. Trust the God who is faithful and made a promise that He will forgive and renew. See, verse 2 speaks of the one in whom His spirit has no deceit. And we think, well, that's a perfect person. Not at all. It's David here who has sinned, who is talking about, it's not that he's perfect, it's that he quit pretending. He laid it out. He didn't hide his sin anymore. And we are called to live without deceit, to not cover up our sin. He also says he acknowledges his sin. It's my sin, David says. No more ignoring it, no more pretending about it, no more rationalizing, calling it something it's not. No more blaming somebody else. Acknowledge our sin. Very similar to the idea then of confessing. That word, which sounds really hyper-spiritual, just means agree with. God already knows. We're lying to ourselves. He says, why don't you just agree with God? Confess your sin. That's all it means. God, I agree with your assessment of my sin. No more pretending. I'm not covering up. I'm acknowledging it. I'm confessing it to you. And as we do that, God is faithful to forgive. And it's not merely a technicality of forgiveness. He's still shaking his head like, I don't even know why I put up with you. God restores, he renews as he takes away the guilt of our sin. Look back again at verse 1 and 2. We are blessed when our transgressions are forgiven, when our sins are covered. We are blessed when the Lord doesn't count our sin against us. It says it twice. We're blessed, enriched, given life. He forgives us. He also renews a relationship. Verse 6 speaks of protection. This is the protection that comes when God is looking after you as opposed to bringing discipline to win you back. Verse 6, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found, God. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. Boy, too often we hide from God instead of hiding in God. We confess our sin and he once again becomes our hiding place, who protects us from trouble, surrounds us with songs of deliverance. He restores us, the relationship. All through this, the language is very personal. God saying, or David says, you are my hiding place. You will protect. You will surround. And God responds and he says, I will instruct you. I will counsel you. Verses 8 and 9 are delightful. Here's how God wants it to work. Just daily, normal, everyday life. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Which is a lot of poetic. What's it mean that his eye is on us in a loving way? And how does that guide and instruct? Well, here's the contrast. Verse 9, here's how a lot of us behave. Like horses and mules, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle or they will not come to you. It's like God's going, jerk him over here, jerk you over here. You know, it's kind of like playing bumper cars and the guardrails just kind of keep you from going off the cliff. Bam, bam, bam. You wonder why you got whiplash in life. And God's saying, it doesn't have to be that jolting, painful experience. Why don't you walk with me? Walk with me. You hear the subtlety of my voice. I'm watching over you and I'm giving you direction. I'm shining light on your path. What a delightful way to live. And when we quit pretending about our sin, we lay it out there, let him remove it from us. We just walk with him. We walk with him. He restores a relationship. He restores joy. Verse 10, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. It's not that you're going to have a trouble-free life, but you will face those troubles surrounded by the love of God. That's what happens when we just lay it out there in the open. Verse 11, rejoice in the Lord. Be glad, you righteous. Sing, all of you who are upright in heart. And again, that is not saying those who are perfect and have behaved yourself. It's saying those who is, you're not deceiving anyone. You're laying it out there. You're honest about your sin. You trust God to do what you cannot do. And joy is restored. Refreshment and renewal is restored. Some of us here today know we are hiding our sin. we're very deliberate about it. We're calculating in how we avoid exposure. I hope you hear from David today, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that God already knows it's a hopeless effort to hide your sin, and it's needless. He has more than you can possibly find on your own. Some of us are here, and we have pursued a path so long that we have very well convinced ourselves. And we only have this creeping sense that we're hiding our sin from God. That's how clueless we are. But if you're hearing that creeping sense of something being held back from God, ask Him to shine light on that. Confess it, bring it into the light. Let Him renew. Others here today are so clearly aware of how needy you are of God's grace, and you are walking humbly daily with Him without deceit. When you stumble, you bring it to Him quickly. Today, as we come to the table, we confess once again how unworthy we are and our gratitude for His promise to forgive and restore. Wherever you are today, the time for hiding is done. It'll kill you if you keep going down that path. When God is welcoming you and wants to give life. So we're coming to this table that reminds us the whole reason that God can and will forgive us, because Jesus did die on the cross. So we're going to take time to confess. It's going to be silent, and then we're going to hear Aaron sing a bit about coming to the altar and receiving the forgiveness that God wants to give us. And then we'll join in singing, and whenever you feel ready, you can come to the table as a reminder of how God responds when we quit hiding. We embrace the life that He has for us. So right now, just you and the Lord silently hear His voice, confess, quit hiding. Acknowledge your sin to Him. Thank Him for His grace.